I'm John Batchelor with Ron White. His new book is On Great Fields, The Life and Unlikely Heroism of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. This is a way of looking at the late 19th century, the Gilded Age. It is now 1880s, 1890s. Grant's gone in 85. Warren goes in 82. Chamberlain, despite his wound, will carry on for another two decades. However, he does have surgery, and at some point the surgery is put in the newspaper. I don't remember when, Ron, but that's the first time Fanny knows about it. Is that right?
Yeah, that seems very odd also. It's the first time most people know about it. Somehow the newspaper gets a record of what the surgery is. It's a pretty graphic record, and people are shocked that they know this man, governor, president, has undergone so much misery and pain through all these years. It becomes public.
And there's no pension for the Union Army. There's no medical benefits. There's no VA. You take care of yourself or you don't, and many didn't. Many couldn't. Chamberlain, however, persists, and he persists at 101 West 75th Street. I tried to look it up, Ron, but Sherman lived there in the neighborhood somewhere in the West 70s, as I recall, and he became a first nighter. He would attend every theater piece in the beginning. This is Sherman who in 1880, I'm going to say, for the presidency said, "If nominated, I will not accept it. If elected, I will not serve." That's Sherman. And Chamberlain's there at the same time. So did the heroes of the Civil War, did they spend time together? Or did they stay apart?
Well, they had remarkable reunions. And in 1869 was the first reunion of what became the Society of the Army of the Potomac. And Chamberlain is selected to be what they call the quote-unquote orator, which tells you already by then his renown was there. Sheridan is sitting, must have been sitting in the front row or the front table because he's elected president of the society. But in the middle of his speech, Chamberlain brings up the case of Warren and says, "Sometimes people have been treated unfairly." He says that right in front of Sheridan. So he already was the great orator for these various reunions.
Florida adventures are not developing. Chamberlain buys a boat at one point and asks Fanny to go south with him. She does, but it's during a frost. So nothing is working out as Ron calls entrepreneurship. That's not his skill. His family tells him he can't be great at everything. He's disappointed because he's trying to come up with a legacy for his wife. They live in Brunswick. They have a beautiful house. Is it still there, Ron?
It's still there. It's now a museum. I really commend people who have the opportunity to visit it. He moved the house four blocks from Potter Street to Main Street to face the college and the church, raised the bottom floor 11 feet, and built a new first floor. It's quite a remarkable home.
There is a photograph in your book, and I wasn't entirely sure. Is that an American flag hanging from the ceiling?
Well, it's an American flag, yes, and also the battle flag of the Fifth Corps, yeah.
I see. So, and the museum today is open for anybody to visit because this is...
It is. It's operated by the Pajep Scott History Center of Brunswick.
Chamberlain is known for that 90 minutes, as Ron says, at Little Round Top, but there's much more to this life, so we need to go back to the... Events are happening. Fanny's losing her eyesight. She will eventually leave us in 1905. He loses Tom in 1896. Tom was with him with 20th Maine, serving as a lieutenant, and has a life that is a disappointment to himself, given the gem that was his older brother. Many businesses approach Chamberlain, ask him to be president. Do they pay him for being president?
They do pay him, but it's not really working out in the way he anticipated. He's not really a success in business. And finally, by the end of the century, he recognizes this and steps down. And in a remarkable letter, his son Willis writes to Fanny and says, "Well, I think I've discovered what you've known all the way along. Our man cannot be successful in everything. The problem is he's always looking out for the other fellow instead of for himself."
That's accurate. He doesn't have a source of income. 1905, he's made surveyor of the port of Portland. What does that mean?
Portland. That's right. Yeah.
What does that mean? What are the duties?
He's really a kind of the administrator of the port, checking boats in and out. It does give him time to continue to speak and then to begin to write. And so he goes back and forth between living in Portland, where he has a home, and retaining his home in Brunswick.
Yes, he's put at the head of the Bible Society, he's the head of the missionaries, he's the head of the Society of the Blind because Fanny's going blind. He's in his 80s now and still very active. There's some vivid pictures in the book of him with his white hair and white mustache and full uniform riding, and we always knew that he was a horseman. Detail here, he takes a trip. Is it 1905? Yeah, 1905. He goes to Egypt, Italy. Does he go to the Holy Land? I think he goes to the Holy Land, too.
He does, and this is remarkable. He, as people did in those days, he writes back to a newspaper, and when he goes to Egypt, he writes back and says, well, in the evening I spend 1 hour reading the Bible in Greek and 1 hour reading the Quran in Arabic. It just talks about what a remarkable person he is.
And he still picks up languages. Now, Ron, you and I are old enough to know that we've gotten lucky here. We are senior. But to pick up a language when you're senior is extraordinary. I don't know anybody can do it.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
No. It means that he has a skill that we've lost.
That's right.
Or had an unusual brain. The wound is still not solved. And we come to that fact that he's dying of the wound. Does he know it?
Yes, it's 19. He's part of the commission committee that's going to put on the 50th reunion at Gettysburg in 1913, but he cannot attend. It's going to be 100 degrees. His doctors tell him you cannot go, so he's not there. And 1 year later, February of 1914, almost on the eve of the beginning of World War I, he dies in his home in Portland.
Where's he buried, Ron?
He's buried in Brunswick at the cemetery there, and it's a place of pilgrimage. Fanny's buried there, and he's buried there. Pine Grove Cemetery.
Is Domhegan, his house on the shore, still there, or is that long gone?
The house on the shore there, a sort of summer house, is no longer there.
I recommend travel to Brunswick to visit the site of an extraordinary man who's celebrated for something he did early in his life, when in fact the rest of his life, living in pain with a wound that he received in the charge at Petersburg, a very bad order. He struggled his whole life and served as governor, served as president, served as an inspiration. On Great Fields, the life and unlikely heroism of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, Ronald C. White is the author.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.